With another edition of the Stampede Wrestling Show.
It's TLD.
Yeah. 4-time tag team champion. I'm cuddly. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Why everything, Dennis? I'm TLD.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the greatest radio show that has ever graced the earth. It is Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, PWB Radio, if you hashtag it on Twitter. It's great to hear from everybody here tonight who's listening in to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Normally, this is Sunday night, and normally, this is Heartbeat Radio, but for pay-per-views, we are live for PWB Radio in conjunction with Heartbeat Radio. I am Will TLD, your host for this evening. And also co-hosting me as well is a great PWP contributor, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about tonight. Toph, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, doing good. Just another quiet Sunday afternoon. Sunday evening, actually. Just here to talk some Battleground tonight.
We're going to talk some Battleground tonight. If you want to join in on the conversation tonight, you can call it at 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWP Radio on Twitter to comment on your thoughts this evening. Let's go right into the show. But before we do that, we are bringing in the usual host of this show. Ladies and gentlemen, it is member of the Hart family, Bruce Hart. Bruce, welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, Will. Nice to be here. Hope you guys are all doing well.
Oh, I think we're doing quite well down here. I mean, we finally got some warm weather, no more storms, no more bad weather. How about the weather up there by you?
I'm not bad. We had a bit of lightning and a few tornado warnings, but nothing too bad, though. We're all doing okay. What was your...
Good to hear.
Yeah, what was your take on the Battleground, Will?
Well, overall, you know, compared to Money in the Bank, I thought overall it didn't live up to the Money in the Bank show. But overall, so there were some really good, strong matches, and there were some matches on this card I was really looking forward to, and my expectations were met on those. But otherwise, it was somewhat of a filler to SummerSlam. So nothing was really bad. Well, I would say the Chris Jericho Bray Wyatt match was a real big disappointment to me, just because I felt like something really was not there on that match. I don't know if it's just Jericho's been gone for too long, or and Bruce, you can chime in.
Or maybe he hasn't been gone for long enough.
Yeah, I feel like that. You know, some people in the ring don't mix, and I'm sure you've seen that, Bruce. But just some people just don't click together.
Yeah, I got certainly that match. It didn't really grab me. There's, you know, I'm not sure if it was a great chemistry or combination in the first place, and the whole pretext for the match was kind of premature. To me, it just kind of, they threw it together way too quick. There was no great issues or no great anything between them, and didn't look like their styles complemented each other. And nothing about it was good. Even the, you know, I'm not sure why Rowan and Harper, even frankly, were out there, you know, and then just have them ordered out, which they had already done the job in the tag match. So they're, you know, the whole thing didn't have any great chemistry. The only thing that surprised me about the match was that they had Wyatt do a job in the middle, you know. I figured, you know, I was semi-surprised just seeing that. But at the same time, it didn't really didn't do anything, you know. If the match, I guess the best way to put it is if the match had not been on the card, I don't think anyone would have missed it much, you know. So it was nothing
yeah.
to write home about. But,
yeah, you know, I got that feeling too. I think there was some weird, you know, mix there. Toph, what was your thought on that, Toph? I mean, because that seemed like that Jericho Bray Wyatt match, just something that was out of whack. That I just don't know.
A long time ago, I remember Shawn Michaels in his early days, he had a match with Mr. Perfect. And on paper, that just sounds like a great match, but the match was actually pretty bad. I don't remember when it was. This is like early 90s. It's one of those weird things where you get two people that are known to be good performers, but for whatever reason, they just didn't click. And the same situation happened with Chris Jericho and Bray Wyatt. The build was very strange, how they introduced The Miz or reintroduced him, and then Jericho interrupted him. I thought Jericho and Miz were going to have like a transitional kind of filler feud, and then like by SummerSlam he would fight Bray Wyatt on a bigger stage, but instead they decided to have Bray Wyatt fight Jericho here, which I thought was kind of strange. Again, pretty much what Bruce said, I thought that Rowan and Harper being ringside kind of added nothing because they already had a great match earlier, and the chemistry just wasn't there. I mean, there was even a few spots in the match where you could see that Jericho was really calling spots. Like at the very beginning when he gave Bray a knife-edge chop, you could see Jericho was really close to Bray's ear, and he whispered, you know, go for a clothesline, and he threw him.
Obvious, you know.
Yeah, you could just see it. It was like 2 minutes into the match. I don't know exactly what they were going for. It was just, it's like pretty much what Bruce said, like their styles just were not complementing each other. And they're both great in-ring performers, but they just didn't have the magic tonight. I was very surprised when Jericho won, because usually he comes back and he does business. He puts people over, but he won tonight. The match, it just wasn't good.
I'm wondering if this
fans and Wyatt fans there, but yeah.
Given both the only two straight finishes on the card tonight were Usos going over Harper and Rowan, and you know, Wyatt, Bray Wyatt getting pinned in the middle. So I'm not sure if that is indication that the Wyatt family's on its way out. Like I don't know, that it gives me some vibe. You know, I'm not sure if that's the end of all that stuff. You know, I sort of remember the same type of thing where they did that with Nexus, or whatever the heck, all that bunch a few years back. They pushed them for a bit, then all of a sudden they're just completely out of it. Wade Barrett and that bunch, and I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if that marks the beginning of the end of the Wyatt family. I'm not sure if they've run their course anyway. They, you know, it seems like they're not that hot a commodity anymore. You know, maybe it's kind of time for a change, but I don't know what else. That's the biggest thing right now. I don't see anything really, you know, grabbing anyone, even on that last match, and we'll digress into that later, but I didn't get any great vibes.
Well, I think here's the thing about the Wyatt family. I think when they were put into the feud with John Cena, which was, they got put into a feud with the highest guy on the card, and they were living high during WrestleMania and the pay-per-views that followed, but then, of course, Bray had to kind of go back down because he fought the top guy in the company, and now he really didn't – I'd say he did get over, but not to the level that would make him like a top contender. Bray Wyatt is a guy that should be like a WWE champion, but right now with SummerSlam coming up, which is not the right time for it. And, you know, speaking of Wyatt, let's move to the first match, which honestly, if this match closed out the show, it would have been, like, an amazing match to watch, and we'd be talking a lot about it. Because the Usos against the Wyatt family, 2 out of 3 falls, was a great tag team match. And I'm sure, Bruce, that you saw that match, and you could see those guys.
I totally agree. I thought it was a damn good match. All four guys were clicking. They were all doing great spots, and good back and forth and good energy, and the only problem was is the opening match, so it was almost like because it was, you know, you almost didn't appreciate it, and I agree. If it, you know, it quite honestly was as good a match as any on the card, but given that it was perceived to be an underneath or a preliminary match, it didn't even really warrant, you know, the crowd reaction. The crowd wasn't even warmed up. You know, they kind of were, it's like watching the cartoon or the short before the main feature of a movie. You're not really expecting it to steal the show, and because of that, it almost kind of was unappreciated. And I thought, I'm not sure if they anticipated that. It's kind of a weird, I'm not sure, WWE seems to be big on kind of taking things that they got rid of and reinventing them, and like almost making out like two out of three fall matches now going to be, you know, some radical new invention or something like that. You know, it was the norm back in my day. Almost all the title matches were two out of three back in the day, and so they did away with that. Then I don't know what the pretext for bringing the two out of three back either was. You know, I'd never heard what was the supposed justification for that, you know, being
invented. I think what it was is that on the last pay-per-view, they won, and then they had a match on Raw 2 weeks ago, and that's what kind of caused, you know, that to occur. So maybe they're just trying to settle this feud once and for all, and the Usos can go forward as tag champions, which, you know, a lot of people are surprised that they did, but that happened. So, Toph, what were your thoughts? Usos against the Wyatt family, to me, definitely the match of the night for me.
Two out of three falls are usually the conclusion of a feud. So when I saw that it was two out of three, I knew automatically the Usos were going to win, because if the Wyatts win, that just invokes another rematch for the Usos, which continues the feud. So I knew the Usos were going to win. The match is good. The pacing started off slow, but as the pacing went on, it got faster and faster, a lot of near falls and stuff. I'm actually becoming more interested in Harper and Rowan than I am in Bray Wyatt. They're going out there having great matches every week, gaining momentum. And for me, Bray Wyatt, I'm just losing more interest in him as the weeks go by. I hope that if the Wyatt family ends, that Harper and Rowan continue to stay together as a tag team. The tag team match was very good match tonight, but it should be noticed that near the very end, you could hear that when it became apparent the Usos were going to get the win, you could actually hear a good portion of fans booing the Usos, which caught me off guard a little bit. I think what happens a lot of times is we're starting to see this a lot, and you know, we're in this era of the internet. A lot of times you have these guys that are not utilized their best, and you know, fans get behind them, and then they finally get their chance, they become champions, and then when they become champions, it's like they actually get over and the casual fans start to like them. And I guess for whatever reason, older demographic fans, they just feel like, oh, okay, well, the Usos are being shoved down our throats. Because like 3 to 4 months ago, a lot of people liked the Usos, but now I'm starting to see some fans turn on them. I mean, I don't think they're going to get John Cena heat, but, I mean, you can hear, like, you know, did you hear the boos when the Usos were about to win the match? It was a good collection of boos. I think some fans are starting to turn on them.
Oh, yeah, totally. And you hit the nail on the head with the John Cena heat, too, because you know, we'll get into that later, but when Cena went over in the Fatal 4-Way, it was almost, you could hear a pin drop. There was no great reaction, a few kind of disgruntled boos. You know, I think if Reigns had gone over there, they would have been popping, you know, and I don't think anyone was, like, celebrating Cena. It was almost like kind of, okay, whatever, you know. For me, it was a big anti-climax. It didn't grab anyone, you know. It didn't, like, it was my perception. But Uso mm-hmm. thing is kind of like that, too, you know. And they have to, I think, come up with some faces that are going to, you know, I think Reigns might be the most over face right now. I'm not sure if, you know, they maybe have to put a belt or do something. If it was up to me, frankly, I'd have Cena turn heel and do something dastardly or, you know, decidedly you know, shady or whatever to rains and some, you know, and then have rains, you know, kind of come back at Cena or something like that. But I'm sure that's not in their game plan, but that would be my...
Well,
my...
it seems like they have a big... I think they have a bigger game plan going on with Cena because they got a big show coming up with SummerSlam going on. So we'll get to that main event match in a little bit. But the next match was the Divas Championship, AJ Lee against Paige. You know, good thing about Paige, Bruce, you know a lot about the English land of all these wrestlers, and now we have a woman named Paige coming over from England wrestling. What's her style like? I mean, what is she bringing to the table right now as far as in the ring? I mean, have you seen a lot of that British style being brought to the ring?
Yeah, I think she looks like she's all right. She didn't have a great none of the Divas, frankly, have what I call strong personalities. You know, they seem to be great on the mic. And the biggest problem I had for that match was neither one of the characters was at least a bit likable. Like, I didn't have any... Like, AJ's kind of an obnoxious little skank skipping around with the belt, and, you know, and Paige comes across as kind of a bitch as well, so it was hard. You know, neither one was, like, really, like, oh, I'm, you know. So I thought they worked pretty hard, you know. There's a step up on most of the Divas matches that I've seen, you know. But it didn't really elicit much reaction when, like, there wasn't any character separation, you know, neither one was, they're both kind of half obnoxious, skanky bitch heels, you know, so there was no, didn't really light your fire or kind of like cause any great celebration when, AJ won, you know. It's kind of like, okay, whatever. But it was a decent match. It was better than I expected, frankly. You know, most of Divas matches invariably turn into softcore porn or second, you know, hand
TNA,
you know. But I thought it was a decent match. You know, they actually had decent pacing and the... The moves weren't bad, you know. It was a lot better than
they are submission specialists too, which I think both of them do use a submission type hole, which I think is very interesting to have. Tofi, what were your thoughts on the Divas match tonight?
It was a great piss break, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, of course. You're such a fan of the Divas.
Yeah, especially when they give you a lot to work with. I mean, I really try to give these Divas a chance, man, but this feud is just proof about how much they care about the Divas division. I don't want to be negative, but I have no choice but to be. So you have AJ.
You have to be negative, man. You never gave the women's match ever any good reviews.
I don't have a reason to give them good reviews because they don't care about the Divas. So you have this chick who's champion for half a year, and then she drops it to this virtual unknown out of nowhere. And then this chick who had a character in NXT, when she's on the main roster, she has no character. And then she just gets her ass kicked for all these matches and then somehow just wins. And then when she finally does have a character, it's when she loses. And then you're basically just saying, okay, so basically she was a placeholder, title holder until AJ came back. So then you could build up an AJ Page feud, but instead you just you give it away on a half-assed filler pay-per-view with, like, no build at all, and then they just go out there and try to get in as many moves as they can in, like, 6 minutes. And it's like, okay, like, why should I care about this? Why? This feud just does nothing for me. Meanwhile, the most talented diva in the entire roster is in the pre-show jobbing to a chick that can't wrestle. Wow, like, how can I give a positive review about the Divas division? Jesus. Wow. Forget this match.
Wow, I think you're kind of hot there, Tofi.
Hey, man, at least Tofi gives them the ratings. That's good, right?
Well, what are you looking for? Because I know you've been kind of go off on them a little bit. What are you looking for out of them?
I would very much like it if the Divas just had characters, that's all. You know, like what they're doing with Alicia Fox is just proof that creative has been unable. Like, for instance, I don't want to rant too long because we only got an hour. But, like, if you look at the days, you know, go back in the day, like, you know, Sable, Sunny, you know, Marlena, chicks like that, you know. When female wrestling was interesting, it was, yeah, you know, it was when females had characters. If you look at the divas today, there's just no character. Alicia Fox, AJ Lee, it's like every now and then you get, like, this psycho crazy chick. I guess there's just something appealing about a crazy chick in storyline. But there's no characters, you know. It's like these divas, they can work, right, when they get time. But where are the characters? Like, look at the roster right now. Like, who's really a character? Okay, Layla dances, Summer Rae dances. Okay, but what's Paige's character? Not in NXT. What's her character in WWE? She doesn't have one. Who's AJ Lee? Okay, AJ Lee was the psycho chick before, but she's not psycho right now. So who is she? Like, none of them have any characters. Natalya, Naomi, Cameron. Okay, Cameron has a character. She thinks she's better. Okay, they're trying to establish her. Okay, but, like, where are the characters? There's no black, white, blue, yellow. They're all the same. I can't get invested in that. There's no characters. They're all boring.
All right. Well, Tuff has his beat there. Oh, we have a new caller in the line. I believe this is Brent calling in. Brent, is that you, sir?
It is. How are you guys doing this evening?
Good.
We are doing absolutely tremendous. We were talking about the Divas match tonight. We already had Rose and Toadstar, but Brent, what was your thought on the tag match and the Divas match?
The tag match, I didn't get to care. I only caught bits and pieces of tonight's event, but as far as the Divas match, I think I'd have to agree with you guys there on the WWE not doing too much of the right things with the Divas, and I think they should be used properly.
I think they should use them properly or get rid of them altogether, one or the other. You know,
absolutely.
Frankly, if they weren't on there at all, I don't think I'd care. You know, at this point for me, the most over female out there is the Rusev's manager, mostly because she doesn't wrestle, you know. And she doesn't do it.
That's a good segue into that match because, you know, Lana, my goodness, yeah, that's a woman with a lot of legs, I have to say. And not to mention good heat as well because she's truly tremendous on the microphone. She really she grabs the attention of the people, Bruce.
Oh, yeah, she actually plays her role well, you know, and she's, she actually seems reactive to the match. I've seen a lot of those divas that, you know, just sit there like a statue. They don't even react, and they're just there for aesthetic reasons. But she actually plays her role well, you know, and she actually picks up Rusev's game because he's not a ball of fire either, you know, so she actually fills that gap pretty nicely. I thought, you know, that match exceeded my expectations given that, you know, at first glance, you know, say nothing to get excited here. You got recycled former lukewarm heel and Jack Swagger and Rusev, who, you know, doesn't do that much other than, you know, they're playing the Putin thing and all like that. The manageress actually sort of was the, added ingredient that kind of salvaged that match for me because, you know, it wasn't a great match, but, all things considered, it got over a lot better than I anticipated. I thought, frankly, it was going to be a real lame match, but it served its purpose, got over, and, you know, I didn't have anything bad to say about it at all.
Mm-hmm. Brent, what was your thoughts on that whole thing?
I'm sorry, one more time?
What was your thoughts on the match between Jack Swagger and Rusev?
I guess I could say, I mean, to rate it, I guess I would say it was fair. I don't want to say necessarily overly exciting, but it was all right.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think what I like the most is the feud. The feud is like the idea of just the U.S. versus Russia, and then the unexpected Jack Swagger comes out to defend America, which that night on Raw, when that first occurred, the crowd was just going insane for Jack Swagger. He's never been a kid's first time. He's never been a good guy, so this kind of makes it a little harder. It's his first time doing it, so I got to give the guy credit. He's trying his best for his first time.
I like the match. I thought it was very good. It was Rusev's best match thus far, and I was impressed with Swagger also. It was the most offense I've seen on Rusev thus far as well. Swagger looked dominant for most of it. After the real-life tragedy that happened earlier this week about that plane being shot down, I was thinking if they were just going to go Lex Luger, Yokozuna finish, shout-outs to fans that get it with the count-out. So that was what I was predicting. I thought Swagger would win via count-out, but instead it was reverse of what I thought. They went ahead and had Rusev win via count-out. So I didn't think Swagger was just going to lose indefinitely after that. I don't think this feud is over. The way the match finished, it definitely seemed like there's going to be a continuation of some sorts, but this was a good match. I enjoyed it, and Rusev and Swagger put out a good match here. I think Rusev's very good. I think many fans are just sleeping on him because Lana's just so much more interesting, obviously. But, yeah, this is a good match, and they both worked pretty hard.
Yeah, no offense, dude. I mean, Lana is a commanding, woman, and Rusev's just a badass who doesn't really have to do much, But those two, I thought, considering what they had, I was really looking forward to this match. This is one of the matches I was really looking forward to. I liked the ending. I thought the ending was a great way to kind of segue into SummerSlam, and they could do some kind of match, whether it be a flag match or something else that they could do. But I think this feud should go on for another a little bit longer because you could play this out for a long time. It's a simple feud of just one country versus another, and it's a simple thing with that. I mean, Bruce, you were in the middle of that whole thing with the, Canada and the United States at Canadian Stampede pay-per-view. I mean, what was that like at Canadian Stampede? That was a big show for you guys in Canada. It's the evil U.S. against the good Canada. I mean, what was that experience like there?
It was great. That was the apex of the so-called Hart Foundation or something. It was kind of, they had some good players in there, Brett Nolan and Pillman and Davey and Neidhart, and Austin was at his peak then, and Hawk and Animal and that bunch. So I like to see that kind of thing. That's always, something that if it's done right, elicits a great reaction. Same like Hogan and the Iron Sheik, or even when they recycled Sergeant Slaughter and General Adnan and all like that. A little bit of that political stuff's a very effective tool. I guess I suspect they were maybe a bit afraid to come right out and, maybe it's maybe too hot of a topic or whatever, with the Russian air shooting the Malaysian airline thing down and all like that. It's maybe a bit too hot. They don't want to maybe quite get into it. So I heard them mumbling something about Afghanistan and all like that, But
yeah, kind of pushing it. I hate to say this, but CNBC and all them, they do that every single freaking day. So honestly, it's not like it's a big thing. It happens every freaking day here. But moving on, since you have about 30 minutes left in the show, Bruce, I wanted to know your thoughts on Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, the way they kind of build that up a little bit. It seemed like they were trying to, delay that match, and they did a really very interesting way of doing it with Seth Rollins coming out, basically making sure it was a forfeit, and then Dean Ambrose attacking him from behind. And basically throughout the entire night, just keep building up that personal feud. What's your thoughts on Seth and Dean Ambrose?
I thought it was a really feeble, lame pretext to not have, Dean Ambrose fight. It's like, give me a break, Hunter coming out after Dean Ambrose has a little skirmish with Seth Rollins, and all of a sudden says he's not allowed to fight. who are we kidding here? You know, you see that type of crap all the time. So I thought that was lame, and I think they're trying to do something there, but to me it was even more lame, complete bullshit, forgive my French or whatever, when they had that charade at the end where Seth Rollins has got the two supposed security guards and he's leaving the building as if it's even noteworthy that he's leaving in his car, and he needs, you know, and then, you know, Dean Ambrose pops out of the trunk, and they, you know, I think there's too many script writers trying to be too cute there, or whatever. The whole thing, nothing made any sense, you know, none of the pretexts for not having the match or at the end, it was all contrived, and for me, it was a bunch of crap. It didn't, they should have just had the damn match. If you're going to book a match, give them the damn match. You know, if, I'm not sure if Rollins is injured or, but for me, it was a big letdown. You know, they build up the match and all the other, and they don't even give the fans the match, and then they have some lame teaser at the end with a guy popping out of a car trunk and, you know, a little bit of bullshit, and then guy screaming out of the arena in his car, and, you know, it reminds me of some of those lame charades I've seen on WWE where they have cars blowing up or they got, you know, crap going on in the back, and just give them the damn match in the ring, and, you know, I'm sure they could have come up with a better scenario than what they did, you know. Didn't, if I was a fan, I'd feel ripped off, you know. I paid to see Rollins and Ambrose, and all I saw was a bunch of pre-match crap and then some bullshit excuse why Dean Ambrose was not allowed, and then, you know, some bullshit afterwards as if, you know, that was, reasonable facsimile for the match. And so the whole thing for me, that whole storyline was lame from the get-go and didn't leave a good taste in my mouth in any way.
All right. Well, we're going to move on and hear from Toast. Toast, what were your thoughts on the idea of the match didn't really technically air, but there was some friction between the two guys. What were your thoughts on it?
I like what they did tonight. I'm a big fan of the Rollins-Ambrose feud. It reminds me of two other feuds, both of which we have not seen a feud like it in a very long time. It reminds me of the Macho Man Randy Savage Diamond Dallas Page feud in WCW, and it also reminds me of the Chris Benoit Kevin Sullivan feud. Both of those feuds were blood feuds. It was like something personal that went on for over a series of matches over the course of the summer. And, like, when the feuds first started, there was never, ever a finish. It was just a brawl that always just went to a no contest or a double count out, and it just went on for months, and it elevated everyone involved in it. And when I heard that they were going to do Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose, my worst fear was that they were just going to have a match at Battleground, and that would be the end of it. They should build this feud up. This should go for months. This should go as far as past SummerSlam. They had a match in FCW many years ago. It was actually a really good match. So when they finally do have the match, it was going to be really good. But I like what they did tonight. And even though, you know, it was advertised, I'm not too mad because I would actually rather them have a match at a bigger stage and stuff. But I like what they did, and I'm a big fan of the feud.
All right. Thanks, Chuck. I agree. I think, you know, I even kind of predicted this would be kind of a DQ finish match. I wasn't really thinking they were going to have one. I think they're going to save this for a bigger show like SummerSlam, but I thought the fans, I don't feel like were cheated out of their money on this match. I feel like they got something out of it. They got a nice brawl at ringside, and we don't see it too much on pay-per-views. I'm going to bring in a new caller here, 780. You are on the air. What's your name?
Jim.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing tonight?
Good, sir. And yourself?
I'm doing just absolutely tremendously wonderful. Thank you so much for asking here. Jim, what were your thoughts on the whole idea between Seth and Dean? It feels like it's just a friend fighting a friend for a cookie. That's what it kind of feels like.
Well, my thoughts on that is I agree with Bruce 100%. I think a lot of the writing in the WWE now is crap. And I think deep down that they don't know what to do with the Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose yet. They don't know whether they should put it at like a Royal Rumble event, SummerSlam. I think the writing is not there. Like, that would have been a good match. The only savior of this pay-per-view were the Usos and the Wyatt family. But this Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, I think they're stunned. They don't know what to do with it because it turned out a lot better than what they ever expected. I think the crowd's reaction towards this whole scenario of friend going against friend is got a lot bigger, and I think the WWE is stumped. It's just that they don't know what to do with it. That's my opinion. I think the fans got ripped off. I don't think they got the money worth. Let them have the match, like Bruce said. Let them go at it. Then build it on from there. But I think they failed miserably tonight, right? Their pay-per-views in the last couple have been not very good, in my opinion. That's just the way I think, right?
That's right. It's an opinionated show. There's nothing wrong with opinions. If you have an opinion, as long as you can back it up, you know, that's all that matters. If you're just going to say, hey, I don't like it, and you don't have a reason why, and it's not constructive, then you know what? Honestly, it's hard to sometimes take someone seriously. Brent, what was your thought on tonight's little ambush attack there by Dean Ambrose?
Pretty exciting. I think he's one of the more exciting guys that they got right now. He's doing really well. I like what I saw. I think a lot of people like what they see. Even prior to this pay-per-view, he's been doing really well, and I think we're going to see a lot more of him.
So are you in support of, if you went to that show, would you have been disappointed that the actual match didn't occur, but you had this, like, brawl throughout the entire show?
I guess it depends on, you know what you like, but I don't think I'd be necessarily disappointed. You know, I take it for what it is, but, you know, I think it probably could have been, a little better, but you know, like I say, it is what it is, and we'll see what the future holds.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to bring in another new caller here. This is 917. You're calling in. What's your name? Where are you from?
What's up, guys? This is Bobby Vellante calling. What's up, Bruce? What's up, Will? And what's up, gentlemen, that rest of the gentlemen that's on the show?
Hey, it's great to hear from you, Bob. How's everything going with you?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
So we're going to wrap up this last conversation with you, but what were your thoughts? First off, do you feel like the fans were cheated tonight when they didn't have that match, or do you feel like that the battle around the ring and the backstage segments were enough for fans to keep interested? Because it seems like the crowd, as far as the moments of the night where they're really, really popping, that was one of the moments. So I don't think a lot of fans went home disappointed with that.
Well, to be brutally honest, I've seen episodes of Raw that were better than tonight's pay-per-view, but as far as, like, just to concur with what Bruce and Jim and some of the other individuals said, I don't know what's going on with the writing. I mean, I remember, I don't know, it was last week or 2 weeks ago, they had Rollins getting in, bringing the meathead John Cena's face and saying, oh, I'm going to cash in my briefcase on you. And then you have him being escorted out of the arena with these two fat old jabronis to his car. And, the other thing, too, you always have Cole and JBL popping whenever you have Ambrose just do something crazy. I mean, if the guy's as crazy as you want his character to be, why would you go through all the trouble to find a way to sneak into Rollins' car only to sneak into his trunk? I mean, if he was that crazy, you'd do like an old Steve Austin type deal. You would have snuck into the driver's seat and tried to run over. I mean, that's what I thought they were going to do. I mean, they had the ambulances right there. But I would have felt a little bit cheated. I mean, I was actually really looking forward to the match. Really, you know, I'm a big fan of Seth Rollins. Really looking forward to see Rollins wrestle, not so much Dean Ambrose. But, I would have felt cheated if I actually paid money to sit in the arena for the show.
All right. See, so everyone's got different opinions about that matter. But I think we're all going to pretty much agree that there will be a match between those two We've already, Bruce and I and Toph have already talked about the whole Jericho Bray Wyatt thing, but we want to get some of the other guys on that. You know, Jim, what are your thoughts on Chris Jericho Bray Wyatt? For me and Bruce and Toph, we all felt kind of disappointed with that when two people just didn't mix together, and that was kind of the tell of it. Jim, what were your thoughts on it?
I got to agree with both of you guys on this one. That definitely was a mixed. It didn't go well. Like, it wasn't planned out very well. I don't think it's kind of like mixing oil and water, right? It wasn't a very well thought out match. And I liked the action in it, but it could have been a lot better. It could have been like, I'm dumbfounded for it. I don't know what to say really, but it was very well planned out, right? There could have been other people. It could have been maybe somebody like Bray Wyatt and I don't know. I'm just dumbfounded right now. I know what to think of that one, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard because, you know, Chris Jericho is someone that we all know about. And Bruce, you probably know a lot about Chris Jericho because he's obviously training with you. But, you know, it's very surprising to see his performance tonight because I was a little surprised that the fans didn't really react to it. You know, Bruce, what was – I mean, as far as Jericho goes, did you help train him? Were you involved with his training?
Yeah, he was up here quite a bit. He and Lance Storm. I'm not sure if you know Lance, but they were up
Lance,
here together
Lance
back.
Storm.
It's back in around maybe 1989, 1990. So going back a ways, but yeah, they both trained up here extensively, and I like Jericho. He's a good kid and all, but that whole storyline is prematurely hatched. There's no synergy between Jericho and Wyatt and the whole thing. It's just kind of like hatched way too soon, and there's no, unless I'm missing something, there's no great synergy. There's no great issues. There's no nothing. Just kind of Bray Wyatt's been doing all this stuff with Cena, and all of a sudden Jericho returns, and you know, 2 weeks later, he's doing this thing with the Wyatts, and maybe I'm missing some, but it wasn't set up very well. The match, there's no great synergy. Some guys have great chemistry, other guys don't. They don't seem to, their styles don't complement each other. The match didn't have any ebb and flow to me. It was just sort of like, you know, they kicked Harper and Rowan out, and they just kind of went home, you know, and to the finish. It was kind of anti-climax, and so didn't do anything for me, and I don't know what they did on that match that would make you want to see a rematch. It's not like you've already had the face go over right in the middle, so why the hell do you want to see Wyatt and Jericho fight again? There's no appetite for it. So at that point, you may as well take Bray Wyatt and put him on the scrap heap, and you know he can join, you know, Ryback and Curtis Axel and a bunch of these other guys, Alberto and Damian, that have been given a little bit of a push, and now they're kind of reduced to kind of buffoonish jabronis. You know, that's about where I see that. You know, I don't.
Well,
you know,
I'm hoping they can get past that, because I think that they're worth it. The fans are reacting to them, and I hope they go forward with them. But Bobby, we didn't hear from you about. You saw the match Jericho and Bray Wyatt. Kind of a disappointing match for a returning Chris Jericho, thrown together obviously very quickly. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I just can't believe that Bray Wyatt did the job tonight. I mean, I'm pretty sure that a lot of people thought that Jericho was going to be the one. Either just maybe losing by some sort of sketchy finish setting up some at SummerSlam, or maybe putting over Wyatt. But yeah, Bruce, I kind of starting to feel bad for Bray Wyatt, such a talented young guy, talented talker like him, is kind of being reduced to a jobber status. Like he had, I don't know how many times he had with Cena, but now you have Jericho coming in after a long layoff, and he's getting just being cleaned right in the ring, and the match really wasn't that great. They had a few outside spots, but it was pretty much a a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm very let down because I like both guys, and I really am a little upset with that. But let's move forward to the Intercontinental Battle Royal. Battle Royal is always one of my favorite matches. And Bruce, The Miz is the new Intercontinental Champion. Now, I personally met The Miz. I love him. I don't care. I know he's not the greatest wrestler in the world, but he's a wrestling fan first. But he turned out to be a main eventer at WrestleMania, and he's doing the Hollywood gimmick now because that's really, truly what he really is. Bruce, what are your thoughts on the Intercontinental Championship going to The Miz to Dolph Ziggler?
I don't have any problem with them putting the strap on The Miz. First off, the belt, the straps, you know, kind of doesn't mean that much anyway, you know.
Yeah,
you know, but I thought the finish was garbage. You know, if they're going to have The Miz go over, you know, to me,
I mean,
that's a lame finish.
So he pulled a heel move.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
exactly,
there's so many better ways
was
to get heat. You know, for me, that's a lame finish where you're out of the match and seemingly eliminated for 15 minutes, and then you just suddenly reappear and pin Ziegler, and it left me really flat because I didn't have any problem with The Miz going over, but the way they did it was kind of, you know, just so contrived and hard to take seriously that I just kind of compromised The Miz as a champion. The other thing about that match in general was half the guys in it had no business being in it. They weren't legitimate contenders. It's all well and good to have a battle royal, but, you know, it's supposed to be for the Intercontinental title or some such thing, and you got a bunch of guys who have done nothing but get squashed and B-grade jabronis, and guys like, you know, Xavier Woods and Heath Slater and Sin Cara and the Matador and all this other, you know. I don't think anyone perceives them to be contenders for anything except being demoted or fired, and then they're in this match, you know. And so I thought it was all right. Quite honestly, I thought it would have been better to have I would have had Dolph go over, or even maybe Bo Dallas, you know, in some cheesy finish and something like that. But I don't know. I guess they have to hype the Miz's movie or his, you know, straight to you know, video
DVD
movie
releases. Hey,
whatever,
there's nothing
you know
wrong with going to straight to DVD releases. Nothing wrong with that. So, your thoughts on that match with The Miz winning? There were some pretty cool spots in there. Cesaro got eliminated by the one-man band now, and then Kofi had some pretty cool spots in that battle royal. So I thought there were some really cool moments in there. What were your thoughts on that, Toph?
The match is fine. I like the spots with Kofi, like you just said. It was cool with Biggie and Kofi. They can be a tag team. Ziggler eliminating Sheamus was cool. Slater getting his moment, letting people know, hey, I'm still here. Him eliminating Cesaro was cool. The Battle Royale was fine. I'm not a fan of The Miz winning. Yeah, Miz, he does a lot of media publicity for WWE. Miz does a lot of media stuff for WWE. He's a hard worker. He's a fan. I get all that. Here's the thing, though. He's just not over. Fans don't care about him. They've tried to push this dude. It didn't work out. They gave him the WWE title. I will give WWE all the credit in the world. 2010 was a great experimental year. They tried to push so many people that year. They tried to push Swagger. They tried to push Miz. They tried to push Barrett and Nexus. They tried. I give WWE credit. They tried. But in the grand scheme, where did it really get these guys? Miz, like Damian Sandow, like Ziggler, like many other guys, you know, he's one of those guys that's just not used that much. The thing is, though, when you don't see Sandow being used correctly, when you don't see Ziggler being used correctly, you see a lot of uproar from fans on the internet and, you know, on shows. You hear fans chant for Sandow. You hear fans chant for Ziggler. You don't hear that from Miz because he's just not over. Fans just don't care about him like that. It's just he's a great talent, great mid-card champion, great U.S. champion, great tag team champion, but he just doesn't have it. You know, this Intercontinental Battle Royale, you know, if you're going to give it to somebody, give it to a young rising star like Bo Dallas. Give it to someone that gets reactions like Ziggler. Give it to someone like Sheamus so you can unify two useless mid-card belts and make them one. Giving it to The Miz just does nothing. In 2014, it does nothing. You can hear a pin drop when Miz won the match. Fans did not want Miz to win. Like, it wasn't even booing. Like, you know, it wasn't like, oh, okay, he's a heel, let's boo him. Like, there were no boos. When Miz won, the crowd was just quiet. There was no reaction at all. They just don't care about The Miz. I don't hate the guy. He's a great worker. He's worked hard on his craft. He does a lot of work for WWE, but he just doesn't have it. He just doesn't have it. I don't know what's missing.
Nothing's missing. The Miz is awesome. I said, I'm putting you on mute now, Toe, because you're bad-mouthing The Miz. Anybody that bad-mouths The Miz will be muted. Talk about the greatness of The Miz as the new Intercontinental Champion. Go.
I agree with what Bruce said on 2 points. One is that a lot of people in that match should never have been there, right? And the other point I agree with him on is that Miz does deserve the belt, because if you look at every belt he had, even when he had a WWE belt, there was never really no big reaction from the crowd, but it built up to something. So I think now that you got a mid-carder, as the gentleman before me said, they're building him up to something. To what? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's going to be something in the Royal Rumble, maybe Ziggler and Jericho in a triple threat match for the belt, something like that. But Ziggler should have been the champion tonight. I don't agree with the way they brought The Miz over. I don't mind The Miz getting the belt, but they're going to build it up like maybe a Jericho, Ziggler, and Miz for a triple threat match at Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, which would be great to see, because you got three mid-carders that deserve the work, especially Ziggler, and that's just my thoughts on that, right?
Yep, that's perfect. See, I think that's not a bad idea. I think even Ziggler and Miz would just be a great match. Bobby, your thoughts on The Miz, the greatest wrestler in the history of pro wrestling, winning the Intercontinental title. Your thoughts, go.
Well, I'm not going to bury The Miz. Your hero will, but
good.
I will say, second what Toph and Bruce were saying, the belt should have gone to somebody more deserving, like a guy who's paid his dues, like Dolph, or maybe like to give a boost to a young rookie like Bo Dallas. But, you know, what Bruce was saying, like, you had all the comedy guys in there, but once the belt was up for grabs in the damn Battle Royal, it's pretty much a joke. I mean, back in the day, the IC belt used to be known as the Workers' Belt, where you had guys like Brett, Sean, Owen, and Mr. Perfect having great matches defended. It was right, it was almost to par as the WWE belt. And I remember, if you haven't remembered your wrestling history, Brett and Davey Boy had one of the greatest matches in front of 90,000 people at Wembley at SummerSlam 92 for the belt, and now it's being contested for in Battle Royal. And I mean, you know, once it's, like Bruce said, the value of the belt has pretty much been diluted, and, you know, I have no problem with The Miz winning it. You know, he still has some name value. He was a former WWE champion and main eventer at WrestleMania with John Cena, so, you know, maybe, like, I don't remember who was saying you can just having a feud with him can maybe hopefully bring some class and notoriety back to the belt, or maybe give a push to a young guy. But you know, once you know a belt being defended at Battle Royal, it's pretty much becoming a joke. I mean, we can get away with the thing with the Andre the Giant Battle Royal at WrestleMania. Andre was known for the Battle Royal going from territory to territory, so it had some historical significance to that match at WrestleMania, the previous WrestleMania, but, you know, it's not right defending the Intercontinental Championship being held in the past by some of the greatest workers in the business's history in a Battle Royal.
Well, one of the things that Bruce said before is that these are kind of like props, and that's kind of where the titles are right now, and they're kind of props in a way. Bruce, but we're going to go end on a final thought. The next time I will be with you guys on the air will be SummerSlam, and the rumored match is Brock Lesnar against John Cena. Bruce, with 5 minutes left on our show, what are your thoughts? It's pretty obvious now. Brock Lesnar will probably be at SummerSlam. It will probably be him and John Cena. Paul Heyman clearly said there's a plan C, and I think that will be Brock Lesnar. Your thoughts if that match does occur, Brock Lesnar and John Cena?
I don't think there's any great synergy there style-wise or anything else. They run the risk of, you know, the fans actually cheering for Brock more than Cena, I think. But
well, that happens almost
every
show,
think
though, so that doesn't really
I'm not
make
sure
a difference.
If they're seeking that, but I certainly I was, you know, almost taken aback. You know, you saw that fatal four-way, and when they finally had the finish, the most astonishing thing to me was, you know, there was virtually no reaction. I was wondering if the volume had gone off on the TV when I was watching it, because it was almost like, you know, total silence, you know, and no great reaction, you know. So I don't know. I don't know what the contrived scenario will be. I guess it will be no less contrived than having Chris Jericho fight Bray Wyatt for them to hatch some apparent storyline between Cena and Brock Lesnar, you know. But I guess they'll have to have Paul dangerously shifted into high gear, you know, on the interviews, you know, and hopefully they'll come up with, you know, some kind of pretext for having it. But I don't know if there's any great synergy between Brock Lesnar and Cena, and their styles, I don't think, are all that compatible either, you know. So well, I don't know, you know.
We're going to see. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, but I think that's the rumored match. Toph, are you ready to see Brock Lesnar and John Cena one more time?
Yeah, sure. I like their match at Extreme Rules 2012. Very curious to see what the... Yeah, I'm very curious to see the crowd reactions, because on one hand, like, fans want Lesnar to beat Cena, but at the same time, this is the guy that ended the streak, so fans are still recovering
that's
from that. So
people... Talk about some heat. That will be some heat.
Yeah. I think the big question I have really is that I'm just trying to figure out, like, if Lesnar wins, then what happens? Because, you know, after SummerSlam, you know, we have that transitional period where it's, you know, too early for WrestleMania build, but too late for SummerSlam build. I just don't see – I'm trying to imagine Lesnar defending the title, you know, on a regular basis. I just don't see that happening. So, like, if Lesnar wins, I'm just, you know, wondering, like, what do you think is going to happen? You think he'll just, like, be like The Rock, just disappear for a bit?
Yep. Probably just do what The Rock did. That's what I'm thinking that he's going to do. Jim, your final thoughts. Do you think Brock Lesnar, John Cena, one, are you looking forward to a match with them again? And two, do you think Lesnar happening?
I thought their last match was good, but I'm gonna throw a wrench in the gears here now. With the look that Cena gave Roman Reigns at the end of this match, when he held the belts up to him and he talked something, I didn't see what he said or heard what he said, I think that would be a good triple threat match at SummerSlam. Cena, Lesnar, and Reigns. That's what I think. What I think might happen.
We could see a curveball going in there. And Bobby, your thoughts tonight on that match? Do you think that you're going to see Brock Lesnar and John Cena, Bobby?
Oh, I hope so, man. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it. If it's anything similar to the last match at Extreme Rules, as a guy who's been trained by Bruce and trained under the dungeon style or strong style, whatever the hell you want to call it. I'm actually looking forward to see Brock land some super stiff potatoes in on John Cena and see how John's going to react. Not a John Cena hater. I respect what he does. I love seeing good old-fashioned brawls, and hopefully that match maybe will get some color in it.
Maybe they can bring the Undertaker in to referee it.
Well,
that might be the.
I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting to see the Undertaker actually come out. But man, that's the heat. Toph nailed it on the head. The heat that Brock Lesnar will get when he comes back for ending the streak. The night before, Toph went on a complete rant. So you could see how that affected, people's perception of Brock Lesnar and maybe even the writing, but more on Brock Lesnar. Bruce, thank you so much for coming in tonight for Battleground. We appreciate it. I can't wait for another month away. We have SummerSlam, and we have another episode of Heartbeat Radio next week, right?
You got it. I'm looking forward to everyone coming back next week. And thanks for the vine, guys. Enjoyed talking to you guys all, and appreciate your perspectives.
Hey, we're an opinionated show, and that's what wrestling is. You know, you got an opinion. You have a forum right here. PWP Radio to express it. We want to thank everyone for joining us. Please join us for Raw Reaction tomorrow night, as well as Greg's show on Tuesday. And, of course, every Sunday night we have the Heartbeat Radio. Thank you, fans, and have a great night.